This is the sermon for Sunday, November 10th, 2019. And last week, we celebrated All Saints Sunday, and I talked about how the Bible focuses on the two parts of sainthood, or holiness. Part one, becoming a saint, holy, and part two, living as a saint, living a holy life. God accomplishes part one. Jesus purchased our sainthood by dying, taking the punishment for our sins, so that we sinners can become holy, dedicated to God. The Holy Spirit brings us to repent of our sin and trust in Jesus for that forgiveness, and thereby we receive the sainthood Jesus purchased for us. So God's doing everything in part one, getting us to become saints. But then part two, living as a saint, is what we do in response. And again, the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. So, in other words, God brings us into His family, and then we seek to live as members of that family. We seek to figure out how to do that, how to be good representatives of the family. Well, I focused last week on one huge key to living holy, living different, God's way. By the way, if we don't become holy by living holy, but by faith in Jesus, what is our goal for living a holy life? Our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4 today spelled out one of those goals for living a holy life very well. We live holy, according to God's family rules, so that the people outside of God's family will take notice. And they'll say things like, what great rules our God has given to us, and how blessed we are for following them. And when they notice that, they will want to be a part of His family too. The key that I talked about last week in attracting attention, in a good way, was from God's word in Philippians, do everything without grumbling or complaining. So, for those of you who were here last week, how did that go for you? Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It seems to me that a part of our human nature wants to focus on the 1% of things that just are going wrong instead of on the 99% of things that are going right. Well, November, like I said last week, when we entered November, it's the month of Thanksgiving. Although, if you walk through any store, drive through any town, listen to any radio, watch any commercials on TV, you might get the idea that it's the month of Christmas. Yeah, it seems like everything Christmas started on November 1st. Well, the Christmas focus actually does hit on one part of Thanksgiving, the giving part. So that's good. But we also need to focus on the thanks part. And there's something really cool that happens when we focus on thanks. We complain less and we grumble less. In other words, we do a better job of living as saints who belong to God's family. And the key to grumbling less, complaining less, is being thankful. Now, if you happen to read the Pastor's Corner article in the paper that you got on Saturday, you kind of have a head start on the rest of the sermon. It's going to very loosely follow that article, but the article's only, they limit us to 350 words, so there's a bunch more stuff coming up than what I could put in the article. I don't know why they limit us. I do know why they limit us. We're pastors and we tend to keep going. Well, early in my ministry, I got a lot of advice. And, you know, it kind of strikes me that when you get to my age, you discover most people have stopped giving you advice. Except for Violet, of course. Which is a good thing. Because as I told somebody last week, just because I'm growing older doesn't mean I'm growing up. So yeah, I need Violet to keep giving me advice to act my age, right? Well, one bit of advice that I got early in my ministry that stuck with me came from the pastor who officiated at our wedding. It's a wonderful man named Dean Schussler, who a couple of years ago went to be with Jesus. Unfortunately, I haven't always followed his advice, just ask Violet, but I've never forgotten it. And here's what he told me. He was preparing me for the challenges that were lying ahead in ministry, and he said, when you've had a particularly tough day, one where it seems like the whole world, including your dog, is against you, one where it seems like absolutely nothing went right, one where it seems like everything you did or everything you said was wrong, before you go home and take out your frustration on the people who didn't cause it, do this. Take out a piece of paper and write down every blessing that God gave you that day. And don't write in really big letters. Write in your normal script. And don't stop until you've filled the page. And then pray and thank God for those blessings. Then you can head home. Now that's great advice. And what makes it so great is it doesn't just apply to pastors. You ever have a bad day like that at work? How about those of you who go to school? Ever have days like that? What about at home? Yeah, absolutely. Every single one of us have those kind of days. And we all have the tendency to make those bad days rub off onto the people around us, even if they had nothing to do with that bad day. Well, and then what happens? After we come home, rub off our grumbling and complaining on them, they have a bad day too. Making a list of all the blessings that God has given you is a great way to stop bad days in their tracks. Let me say that again. Making a list of all the blessings God has given you is a great way to stop bad days in their tracks. Problem is, we live in a society that seems to promote, it actually seems to me, our society rewards, doesn't just promote, but rewards negativity, grumbling, complaining, arguing, and the like. And the result of that negative focus reminds me of the old computer axiom when computers were just starting to get popular. You would hear this phrase, garbage in, garbage out. In other words, if you program garbage into your computer, it's going to give you garbage. Well, the same thing goes with your mind, your life. If you fill your mind with the garbage of negativity, grumbling, and complaining, that's exactly what spills out into your life and onto everyone you come into contact with, right? But the flip side is also true. If you fill your mind with reminders of how God has blessed you, that attitude of gratitude also spills out into your life and onto everyone in it. Which one do you want spilling out of your life? Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Now, since focusing on what God has blessed you with has such a powerful effect on us and the people in our lives, I'm going to suggest that we put that advice into practice more than on just those really bad days. If it's so powerful, why wait for a bad day to use that? So I've actually started putting it into practice at the start of every day, not just at the end of bad ones. And what a day and night difference I've found it makes to start your day focusing on God's benefits. I compare it to the difference that it makes walking into a dark room and flipping on a light switch. This world and all the grumbling and complaining that it promotes is the dark room that we walk into every day. The the light switch is being reminded of all of God's blessings as we walk into that dark room. Now, I've heard that it takes 21 days to develop a habit. Unless you're somebody like me, and then it probably takes, 2,100 days. I'm not sure. But for all the rest of you, it takes 21 days to develop a habit. So if you recount God's blessings at the beginning of each day, starting today, by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, or technically the Sunday after Thanksgiving rolls around, Thanksgiving won't be just a day. It will be a way of life. If you start today to recount God's blessings at the beginning of every day, or you can do it at the end of every day, whatever works for you, but if you start doing it every day, by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, Thanksgiving won't be just a day, it'll be a way of life. Now, I use Psalm 103, which is the same psalm that the song that we just sung, 10,000 Reasons, was based on. Let's read the first two verses. These are the two that I use to get started. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, one of the translations says, praise the Lord. I like the bless the Lord translation. It's more accurate, first of all. Bless the Lord is more accurate. What exactly does it mean? How can we bless the Lord? I mean, he's the one who blesses us, right? When we thank God and praise him, we are being a blessing to him. Think about that. You and I are blessings to God when we thank and praise him. That takes praise another level deeper in meaning. So bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now this is where I stop and I start listing all the benefits that God gave me that previous day and at the start of this day. And it's okay to list some of the same benefits every day, because we get some of the same benefits every day, and it keeps us from taking those blessings for granted. Like light, for example. Even if you get up and the sun isn't up yet, you know it's going to be. And even if the sun isn't visible, you still know it's there because the darkness is gone. Light is a benefit that God gives us every day. Life. If you woke up and you're able to read Psalm 103, you're still breathing. And you should thank God for that every day. All sorts of other blessings that we have every day, like waking up in a comfy bed instead of on a dirt floor. Most of us, when we get up out of bed, we can pretty much have whatever we want for breakfast. We don't have to go dumpster diving to find out what somebody else only ate a part of. When we get up out of bed, we have the privilege and blessing of going to school, learning. We have the privilege and blessing of going to a job. We have the privilege and blessing of shelter. Shelter that's a whole lot more sturdy and stable than a tent, and a whole lot more rainproof than a cardboard box like some people have. The ability to see, the ability to hear. Well, you get the idea. There's all sorts of blessings that we have every day, and we take them for granted. So it's okay to list them every time you list the benefits you don't want to forget. You're going to have days when you think that there's just nothing to thank God for. When you have those days, you are really wrong. By the way, who is it that's trying to get you to think that you've got nothing to thank God for? That would be Satan. Think of it this way. You really want to be doing and thinking things that Satan wants you to think? Kind of puts that into perspective, doesn't it? Well, when you run out of things to thank God for, when you think you don't have any, read the rest of the psalm. I'm going to read through it. Who forgives all of your iniquity? Thank God he forgives our sins. Who heals all of your diseases? Thank God for all the healings he's brought on in your life. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Thank God that he is a God of justice. He can't be bribed. He can't be bought. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. Thank God that he has revealed himself to us through his words and his actions. We don't have to guess what he's like. We know. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Thank him for all of those things. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He doesn't hold grudges. My goodness, thank God for that. He does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. His steadfast love is immeasurable. He's a God of immeasurable love. As far as the east is from the west, that far has he removed our transgressions from us. In other words, when he forgives them, they're gone. They're not coming back. He's not going to dredge them up and remind you of them again. Thank God for that. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. The word compassion literally means to suffer with. Thank God he suffers with us when we're suffering. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. And as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it's gone. Its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It never ends on those who fear him. Thank God his love. Nothing can make him stop loving you. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, remember to do his commandments. Thank God he's made a covenant with us to be our God, to take us as his people, and he's given us the perfect rules. The psalm ends by saying, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. He's the one with ultimate authority. Thank God there are no rulers on this earth that ever have power to overrule him. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Thank God for the angels. Thank God for their power and their obedience to what God sends them to do. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his heavenly army, his ministers who do his will. His will is that they fight for us. Thank God for that. Bless the Lord, all his works. He's created everything. In all places in his dominion, which is everywhere. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What an amazing psalm. What an amazing way to start your day, being reminded of all the benefits that you have because of God. So to help you with forgetting not all of his benefits through the rest of the month, and hopefully the habit will have developed that keeps it going after that, I got little notepads for you to write down things on, and they're small enough travel size that you can keep them with you in your shirt pocket or your purse, so that when God does something, you can grab it, write it down, so that you won't forget what he's done. I know some of you might prefer to do it on an app on your phone, and there's plenty of those notepad apps that you can do that on. So however you do it, keep track of God's benefits. start your day or end your day by recounting them, remembering them. God will bless you for doing that. And come Thanksgiving, I'm going to ask how that's made a difference in your life. So kind of be keeping track of that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Starting your day with that will help you to do what we talked about last Sunday. Everything without grumbling and complaining. Amen.